Listen, we're starting this year off, amen. This is a fresh start. We're going to be dealing with new beginnings and fresh start on this year, on this month. We'll be talking about that all month long, about a new beginning, a fresh start. And one of the things that you heard me say that is very important, and my wife and I was talking, I says, you know, we're constantly always talking about starting over. And getting a fresh start, only to end up back at the same spot. Because I need you to understand, I need you to catch this, there are three phases that we live in our life. You live in your past, your present, and your future. Somebody say my past. Somebody say my present. Somebody say my future. And the issue is, you live in all three of those phases at the same time. And my past presents my trauma. My presence presents where I am, and my future presents my fears. And so I'm fighting my trauma of my past and the fear of my future, and I'm doing it in my right now. And that's a struggle. Because the problem is, there's some things that I've been through in my past that has traumatized me. Now that affects my decision-making and things that I want to do. So even though I have a dream of a future, I'm scared to make steps. And I'm afraid to make steps because what I don't want to do is repeat my past. And so what people tell me is that you got to get over it. You got to get over it. And I can't get over stuff that has happened because it traumatizes me. So what I want to do is not tell you to get over the trauma, but you got to learn how to manage it. Because if you don't learn how to manage it, how many know your trauma of your past will control your future? Am I talking to somebody right now? And so you've made a decision that because of what you've been through in your past, that guess what? Now you will never, ever try it again. And I made a statement this week on Facebook, and I hope you caught it, and I want to explain it. I says that if you are trying, you're not believing. If you're trying, you're not believing. Because, see, the thing is, you've been trying so many things. But when you try stuff, it's not believing. Because when you're believing, it is no matter what happens, you keep going. When you're trying stuff, all you need is a setback and you'll quit. We ain't trying this. We believe in this. I'll tell somebody we ain't trying, we believe in. Because when you believe something, no matter what happens, you keep pushing. And so what we've done all last year, you tried this, that didn't work. So you try something else, that didn't work, and you tried something else. When are you going to believe something? This ain't trying, this believing. And so I want to talk to you today from a subject, moving in the right direction. This is the first Sunday of the year. We're getting this thing started. And what's important is I got to make sure that I am moving in the right direction. Now everybody's moving, but are we moving in the right direction? So what I did a presentation early in the week, and we talked about this, and we're talking about the collaboration of the generation of old versus the generation of now and the generation to come. And in this presentation, I was talking about those three cultures, the past culture, the right now, and the culture that's coming. And they all three are present among us right now. And so one of the things that I was talking about is one of the thing that I think is a huge difference is this. Back in my day, before there was technology, if you were going somewhere, you needed what? A map. Because the map gave you direction. Somebody say direction. Back when we were coming up, if you was going somewhere you ain't never been before, you needed direction. I said the generation now, because of technology, don't need direction. They just need an address. Y'all miss your chances right there. And they are now, we have created a generation that don't understand the importance of direction. They just want the address. Because if I got the address, I just put it in my phone. And I don't have to worry about directions, because why? The phone gonna tell me which way to go. And the problem with the phone telling which way to go is that you really never learn how to get there. I thought y'all was gonna be a little more. Okay, I understand it's first Sunday. Okay, y'all was expecting something. And so when I really never learn how to get there, I'm just relying on the address, put it in my phone, I never get directions. So, but in my day, you had to pay attention. Y'all, come on. Because I didn't have nobody with technology navigating me, telling me. So I had to pay attention and count how many stoplights they said. I had to pay attention to the food line that was on the corner. Y'all ain't saying nothing. So now we, because of technology, don't think that I'm shooting down technology, because I'm not. But because now of technology, our younger generation don't have to pay attention to nothing. They just like, you know, you try to get somebody, the younger generation, so I need you to go down here, just give me the address. Yep. Just like now, watch this. If some of our younger people, if I go to them and I says, look, I says, what's 3 times 3? A lot of them are going to be able to tell me. It's 9. But if I tell you to break it down, a lot of them couldn't do it. Because we are a calculator generation. And the thing is with the calculator, you get the answer, but you never learn how to process it. And what we're losing in our generation is the process of it. So my wife and I, we roll up, and I had a quick obsession. I got over it, but I had a quick obsession. Evangelist Darvin, I had a huge obsession over those pork chop biscuits at Bojangles. My God. I'm telling you, it was like the hand of the Lord was on those pork chops. I couldn't go by Bojangles without, my car would just end up in the line. And so my wife and I was like, look, I would not eat nowhere. I was like, she was like, you gonna eat? No, we're gonna stop at Bojangles. I gotta have that pork chop biscuit. So we pulls up at Bojangles, and this really made me laugh. We pulls up at Bojangles, and a lot of people know First Lady is a very friendly, loving, caring person. So we pulls up at Bojangles, and she was expecting to talk to a person. And if you've been to Bojangles lately, AI is the person. And it's that computer woman, you know, and AI. So that lady came out and was like, you know, can I take your order, please? Thank you. Welcome to Bojangles. Can I take your order? And she's like, hey, honey, yeah, I want a pork chop biscuit. I'm sitting there like, this ain't a person. Because the AI program is only there to introduce where you at. It is not there to have a conversation. And we've created a generation of young people that don't know how to have a conversation. Are we moving in the right direction? Are you hearing me? And so I ordered the pork chop biscuit. I was like, yeah, I want a pork chop biscuit and so forth and so on. No, this was on another occasion. Ken and I, it was me and you together. Yeah, it was on the other pork chop biscuit. And AI went through there. And it was in Lynchburg. It was me and the wife. And I ate a lot of pork chop biscuit. Amen. There you go. And The lady comes out of the back door. The lady comes out and say, hey, sir, I want to let you know we don't have any more pork chop biscuits. She says, but the system don't know that. She preached my sermon right there. She says, and I cannot override the system because the system is just designed to do it one way. The system don't know we ran out. Y'all ain't saying nothing. See, so I can't override it, so I gotta let you know that we don't have no more. And so you see how it's programmed. And this is thing, and it's nothing wrong. Please understand, nothing wrong with technology. But what happens when technology don't work? And you don't know the process on how to get it done, you're stuck. In our family group chat, New Year's Eve, they had this thing going through the family group chat. It was hilarious. My niece, Destiny, sent out this text message in our family group chat letting me know that she was not going to be at our church for watch night, is that she had accepted her calling to the ministry, and she was getting ready to go preach because there was a church looking for somebody to preach New Year's service, and they were paying $3,500. She said, I'm preaching today. She said, I'm preaching today. And so it was funny. And so they was like, well, you know, she was like, I got to get a sermon. And I was like, well, just go to AI. So, Jen, you typed it in AI. How long did it take you? Less than a minute. Less than a minute, they had a whole sermon for AI. Are you hearing me? Are we moving in the right direction? Now, I'm not here again. I'm going to say this. I'm not declining advancement or technology. I think it's wonderful. I think it's a great thing. But I think we have to make sure that we understand that we are not teaching our kids and teaching our children the process on how things work. Are we really moving in the right direction? So some of us, watch this. The truth of the matter is, it is not that we're on the wrong road, because some of us are on the right road. You're just going the wrong way. And so people trying to get you on a different road. No, I'm on the right road. You're just going the wrong direction. So I want to give you a couple points here to help us. And I'm hopefully that this message will make you think about the direction that you're going. Because everybody is moving. But the question is, are you going the right direction? And it is a great moment and a great time at the beginning of this year that you take that assessment and says, am I going the right way? And if you discover that at the end of this message that you are not going the right way, please turn around. Don't keep going in the wrong direction. When you see that, hey, this ain't the right way, turn around, and I'll get to that. Point number one, here's what you got to do. You got to recognize your path. Put up Proverbs chapter 3. I want to look at verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. You got to recognize your path. One great way I like to say this is that you have to analyze right now where you are. So like right now, Brother Andre is to my right. Brother James is to my left. If I asked both of them to come to this pulpit, they would all go a different direction based on where they are. Now, Brother James could come all the way around. He could and go the same route that Andre is going. It would be longer. Come on. So you can't just try to follow somebody's path. You have to recognize your own path. Look at somebody and say, where are you? Before you analyze anything, you have to recognize your path. Look at verse 5 says, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways, do what? Acknowledge him. And he said, do what? Now, why are you in acknowledging God? Because you got to acknowledge God. God, this is where I'm at. When God came down from heaven, he says, Adam, where are you? Where art thou, Adam? Adam, I want to know where you at. He wasn't looking for Adam because God couldn't see him. He wasn't looking for Adam because God couldn't find him. He needed Adam to understand, Adam, can you identify where are you? Come on, Can you identify where you're at in life? Can you identify where you are economically? Can you identify where you're at spiritually? Can you identify where you're at in your marriage? If you can't figure out, how can I help you to get to where you're going when you can't tell me where you are? You got, and to recognize where you are, you just got to be honest. This is where I am. You got to know where you are. And knowing where you are, don't measure it by nobody else. Know where you are. Don't tell me where your friends and where your family are. Where are you? Because you have to recognize, if you're going to move in the right direction, I have to be honest and I have to recognize this is where I am. Some of you right now, watch this. You can't spend money based on where somebody else is. You got to spend it based on where you are. You got to tell somebody, oh, that's nice, honey. I ain't there yet. Glory to God. I'm believing God to get there, but I'm not there yet. Are you hearing me? So you have to recognize. And then you seek God. God, this is where I am. Now, once you recognize your path to God, I need you to help me get to where I need to be. And all thy ways, he shall direct thy path. Now, God, I need your direction. God is not going to give you direction if you can't tell him where you are. That's the first thing you need to be talking to God about. Don't be talking about, God, get me out of this. God, give me direction. He said, I ain't doing nothing until you tell me where you are. Even though he knows, he needs you to say it. God, I am in a horrible pit. I'm frustrated. I'm mad. I'm angry. But I don't need to be here because I know that's better for me. But I can't get out of it until I first recognize where I'm at. Now, one of the other things that goes on with recognizing your path is, and this is so important. When you're recognizing your path and you're moving in the right direction and you see the areas in your life that needs to be fixed, fix it. Now, in my study, this is one that really came out to me. Because you cannot move in the right direction until you apologize to some people that you know you need to apologize to. Whew. Don't expect people to get over it. If you're wrong, you got to go back and fix it. Boy, that was... And that's all of us. That's all of us. If there's some things you've done wrong, you got to go back and fix it. You can't just say, well, they'll be all right. No, you got to fix it. Number two, moving in the right direction. After you recognize your path, here's number two. Number two, you must set clear goals. Set clear goals. Give me Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. You got to set clear goals. Now, I could have just said set goals. I said set clear goals. And what I mean by set clear goals, set goals that are obtainable. Set goals that can be reached. Don't set a goal, tell me, I'm going to be a millionaire by tomorrow. You need a miracle. That's what you need. And I'm not challenging your faith, but you got to set clear goals. Many of us, we fall on our goals because we don't set goals that are clear. Are you hearing me? You don't set goals that are obtainable. You don't set goals that are reachable. Now, I know every goal is going to challenge you. And it should, but you got to set clear goals. Look at Philippians verse 13 says, brother, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this is one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind me and reach forth to those things which are before. Then you cannot move forward looking backwards. I'm going to say it again. You cannot move forward looking backwards. You can, but it'll be dangerous. Okay? So you got to set clear goals. I want you to set, you got to determine what those goals are. I need, look, I'm going to make, it's going to be my goal that this year I am going to save $10 a week. That's a killer goal. And that should be, your life should be full of goals. You ought to say, this is what I want to have done by this week. This is what I want to have done by this month. This is what I want to have done in 6 months. This is what I want to have done in 9 months. You got to set clear goals. If you're going to move in the right direction, you're not going to do it without setting goals. Hear me, Gospel Tabernacle. You got to get out of just living a life. Well, I just wake up in the morning and whatever it is, that's what it is. No, you got a plan for your tomorrow. Are y'all hearing me? Whatever the Lord want, that's what, we're just going to do that. No, that ain't what the Lord want. Okay, he wants you got to set clear goals. You got to say, no, this is where I'm planning on my family being at by in the next 30 days. This is where, you know, I always say this. You have to focus on what's in front of you. What's in front of you requires focus. What's behind you requires remembrance. Oh, man. And it's amazing how we remember more than we focus. Tell somebody you got to focus. And we will talk about what we remember so much, but never talk about what we focused on. You have to focus on what lies ahead. You have to set spiritual goals. You have to set physical goals. Now, you know, one of the biggest New Year's resolutions always is everybody talk about losing weight. By February, it's gone. Because we didn't set clear goals. And the thing is, and setting those clear goals of losing weight, here's this. We set the goal if we want to lose weight. But here's the thing about setting goals. I want to make sure I'm getting ahead of myself. Yeah, I am. I get to that. Okay? So these goals got to be set. Tell your neighbor, set goals. Now, in setting these goals takes me to point number three, which is I probably could spend the rest of the night on. It's point number three, is that when you're moving in the right direction, you got to recognize the path you're on, you got to set clear goals, and watch this. And here's how these clear goals are obtained. Embrace change. Tell somebody around to say embrace change. It just drives me. It's amazing to me. Digging Hubbard, it's amazing to me how people want things better, but never wants to change. Where they do that at? Tell somebody embrace change. Embracing change means that, guess what? Some of these goals that I'm setting and some of these goals that I want to get done, it first of all, if the goal that you set doesn't require for you to make an adjustment, it's not a goal. What do you mean, Bishop? It's not a goal. Because what? If it doesn't require for you to make a change, it's not a goal, it's a control. And people do things and expect for everybody else to change so they can gain more control. The first order of embracing change is it alters something in you. Am I preaching okay? Ask somebody, what changed in you? And if that person said, don't that need changing me, you're in trouble. Because when you embrace change, you cannot expect other people to change in areas that you are not willing to. Everybody say, change starts with me. Now that's, I said this week, I says, and here's the toughest part. Here's the toughest part. Are y'all getting this? Is this okay? Here's the toughest part about embracing change. What's tough about embracing change is because of our physics and our makeup. And let me tell you what I'm talking about. Your eyes are only designed to see out. Y'all ain't helping me. Nobody can, you can't take your eyes and see in you. Y'all, come on. Your eyes is only designed to see out. And people see more out than they see within. So I'm in my prayer time. I was like, Lord, that came straight from the Lord. He was like, Kale, you got to look at people's designs. They only designed to see out. I said, well, Lord, how do I help them to see in? And God gave me this revelation. He said, this is what I need you to do in 2025. I said, well, God, what do you need me to do? He said, this is how you're going to help people see within. He said, you become the mirror. Because the only way to see back at yourself is a mirror. He says, you become people's mirror. So when they see you, it shines a reflection back to them. And so I start doing some practices. And so when I really want to talk to somebody about them, what I do is I talk about somebody else in the same scenario. And they'll say, oh, that person wrong. And then you just give them that look. That's how Nathan did with David. He came to David. He said, what would you do to a man that had a sheep? And then another man came and stole his sheep. What would you do to that man, David? David said, I'll kill the man. Nathan looked and said, you the man. And sometimes you got to help people see themselves by you becoming the reflection. Oh, y'all hear me? So you got to embrace change. You don't get to your goals without embracing change. So here's some things I want to help you embrace change. You ready? Be open to new beginnings. Listen, hear me. Don't be so closed-minded. Be open to new beginnings. You are not always right. I know that hurt. You got to listen to other people's ideas. Be open. You got to tell somebody, be open. And it's tough to be open because most of us are premeditated. What do I mean by premeditated? You already got a way you see it. And you're listening, but you're not really opening to what the other person is saying. You're just listening because let them get it off their chest. You already got your mind made up. Kale Stone. Be open. Tell somebody, be open. You got to be open. If you're going to embrace change, you got to be open because guess what? That person's idea just might be better. Because God is constantly calling us to change and to adapt. Now, see, you got to understand, if we're gonna move in the right direction, you're going to have to get used to embracing change. If you're going to stay married, you better get used to change. And most of us, we don't like change. That's the way I want it. We always did it this way. Good. And you know it ain't worked in 5 years, right? It ain't worked. You're just going through the motion of it. You know? You just 15 times zero. Y'all, I'll tell y'all about that one day. Look at Zyrin. I already told Zyrin, and she's like, oh my God, Papa. I'll tell y'all about it one day. Y'all, my mind is. But you got to understand, you just can't keep doing it because it's a part of the system. If it ain't working, change. Look at somebody say, it's okay to change. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Because if we're going to move in the right direction, listen, nothing that I've ever started is still running the same way. Trust me. Because as time progresses and things move, you got to adapt. You got to change. And change is not a cuss word. You got to embrace it. You got to embrace it. It's not, you know, in my meeting yesterday, I was telling them this morning, I says, you know, I was doing a presentation again. I was telling, you know, we was talking about, you know, the church world. And one particular person was saying to me, they says, well, I don't think that the church should be using Cash App and credit cards for people to give offering. You know, we need to get, you know, give money. I was like, oh, okay, you know. I said, you know, it's okay, but you know what kind of world you live in now, right? You know. And then so I said, well, let me ask you something, Reverend. He was like, yeah. I says, you got a card? He's like, yeah. But I use it at the grocery store. And I said, if it's wrong at church, wouldn't it be wrong at the grocery store? You know, it's the mark of the beast. Well, you still got the mark. If that's how you're looking at it, you know, you got to adapt. You got to understand. We live in a generation where young people don't carry cash. They want to use a card. Okay, so you got to create, you got to embrace the change. We live in a generation now that young people don't want to put on a suit and tie and three-piece and come. They don't want to do it. They want to put on their jeans. They want to put on their jogging pants. They want to put on their teeth. Y'all ain't saying that. It's where we are. You ain't going to hell because you got on a jogging suit in church. I mean, come on. That's where we are. It is the generation, and you have to embrace those type of changes if you're planning on moving in the right direction. Because moving in the right directions is a forward movement. If you're moving sideways, you got movement, but you ain't going. You're going sideways. You ain't going forward. So to go forward, you have to embrace change. Now, there's some changes we ain't ready for. And we was at the beach, and we wanted to go somewhere, and so we called the Uber. And the car pulled up and they had no driver. And I was like, I'm not getting up in there. I wasn't ready for that yet. They're like, but no, it's programmed to take up. No, I'm used to somebody being behind the wheel. I ain't ready for that yet. But there are people that's the generation we're living in, that the taxi cab driver ain't even in the car no more. That's where we at. We're in that generation. The Uber is no person. And God forbid, I don't know about y'all, when you go to pay your bills online, you don't never get to talk to a human being. And then if they do, we love you in Jesus' name. They don't speak no English. So you're here like, oh my God. And so most of the thing now is online payment or automatic draft. It's, you know, we were talking in this presentation. We was like, you know what? I remember, y'all, come on now. Do y'all remember when the insurance agent used to come to your house and pick up your money? The insurance offices now, to get like, they ain't got brick and mortars. They ain't got buildings. You don't get to talk to nobody. Are you here talking about, if he ain't come to the house and get it, I ain't paying it. You're going to die without it. So you got to embrace what? Change. You got to embrace change. I went to Walmart for the first time and did my curbside pickup. Is I tell that right? You know, curbside pickup. I was lost. I pulled up on that thing and they said, call this number. I called this number and a person came and said, Walmart, and I was like, yeah. They said, what's your order number? I gave my order number. They was like, we'll be out in a minute. I was like, you bringing it to the car? I said, look at this. And I ordered it. Then I went and I ordered some online. See, I told you that this AI stuff ain't always. I ordered some online, and the thing told me, I want obedient. Sister Vern, it said, pick up at 11. But I needed to pick it up at 9. So I pulled up in that door and I was like, look, I'm here and I need to get my Walmart. And they was like, well, it's not scheduled to pick up the 11. I'm like, look, I know Trey. I wanted that 9. I wanted that 9. And the lady said, well, okay, you know, if you get it at 9, you're going to have to come in here and cancel your order. I was lost. I was like, cancel my order? How do I do that? I had to go to a young person. I said, give me your phone, Pastor. And they canceled my order. I said, what do I do now? They said, go get it. I was lost. But this is the work. You got to embrace. Tell somebody, embrace change. You might not like it, but it's here. And these embracing these changes helps us move in the right direction. Last one. Is it okay? Y'all okay? Is this good? It's about move. Tell somebody we got to move in the right direction. Because this is what I want to do. Number four, and moving in the right direction, you have to persevere through your trials. Now, here's this. Tell somebody, it's not going to be easy. If you're looking for easy, wrong. If you're looking for easy, it's not going to happen. If you're looking for easy, you will not get there. It's not going to be easy. You're starting a business, and you're trying to get a business off the ground, not going to be easy. I'm looking for it to be easy. It's not, there ain't no easy button. But you gotta persevere through your trials. You can't just be quitting and getting mad. You gotta keep going. You gotta keep showing back up. Watch this. And to persevere through trials, expect to get tired. If what you're doing is not making you hurt, it ain't worth doing. You got to persevere it. It's going to be tough. You're going to be turned down. Y'all know my bail bond story on how many times I failed that test. But guess what I had to keep doing? You got to keep going back. Tell somebody you got to persevere through it. It's not, if it was easy, everybody be doing it. The fact that it's not easy, that's why everybody don't do it. But you got to keep pushing. If you're going to move in the right direction, you're going to have to persevere through trials and tribulations. Tell that person beside you again, it is not going to be easy. It's not. Your dreams are not going to be easy. It's going to be some sweat, some tears, some long hours. I'm telling you. It's going to be some lonely days. It's going to be some sacrifices. Yes. You don't get a business up off the ground and running, working 40 hours. Amen. That ain't going to happen. You tell me, I want a 40-hour job. You better go work for somebody. Because if you're going to own a business, you're going to spend 80 and 90 hours every week. Come on. That's what it's because why? You got to persevere. It's called what we call, you got to pay your dues. You got to get in the trenches. It's going to happen. But in moving, what I want you to do, and I'm closing, I need you to really, really take an assessment. That's my first close. Look at where you are. Only you know where you want to be. You know what your dreams. You know what it is that you really got passion for. You got to say, Lord, help me. Watch this. Am I moving? If what you're doing, is it the right direction? Are you living your dreams or somebody else's? Whew. Are you moving in the right direction? There is no, listen, you're not going to get there no overnight. The Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Steps. That means you got to make steps. It's not going to happen just like that. There are steps that's involved. You got to make steps. You got to keep taking steps. See, the thing is, you want to skip steps. You want to just jump from one right to it. No, there's steps to this thing. And if you don't understand the steps, listen, you can't, it's a process. It's not going to happen just like that. No, you need to stay there and go through the process. And what's so amazing about it is that when you get to the finish line, people going to applaud you, they're going to criticize you, but guess what? You're going to be able to hang in there. You know why? You've been through the process. So one thing I like to do in business, one thing I always do in business, and it's just how I am, whether it's transportation business, the bomb business, whatever I'm in business, I learn how everything works. I learn how everything works. Because one thing you'll never be able to get, listen, you might catch me once, but you won't catch me again. I'm going to learn how to do it. You'll never bottle me to the point to where you get to control me because I need you. I'm in the wrong church. I learned when First Lady and I, we go all over to these conferences. Watch this, y'all. I'm like this. I want to learn everything. I want to know how it works. I want to learn the whole process because I'm never too good to roll up my sleeves. I never get so anointed to where I can't go back. I tell all our drivers, they sometimes have to get up early at 4 and 5. I tell all of them, I did it. Snow did it. Ice did it. All day, all night, done it. 3 a.m, been there. See, the problem is, and I was saying this to someone, I says, what's difficult is, this is very difficult. This is very challenging. Don't y'all leave me out here by myself. What's very challenging is now we got people that are leading people that ain't never been through it. So now you sitting behind the office in the desk with a phone pushing buttons, but you ain't never got up at 3. I'm in the wrong church. You ain't never been out there all day and all night. And people don't respect people that can only call shots that ain't never been through the process. The reason why we trust Jesus is not because, yes, he died. It is because he'd been through it. And he came out victorious. Who gonna worship a God that ain't never been through nothing? But you want to call shots. No, let me see you sacrifice first. Let me see what you gonna do first, and then I'll follow suit. Are y'all with me? Don't tell me what I ought to do when you ain't ever done it. Because and we have a generation now, they want to call shots, but they ain't never been through nothing. After you have suffered a while. After you have suffered. It is, see, you don't get this until after you have suffered. You ain't been through, it's after you have suffered. You don't understand what the blessing financially is until you've been through not having nothing. When you've been through, I ain't talking about barely can't pay your bills. I'm talking about can't pay them. People can't talk about the healing of God's power when you ain't never been sick. Talk to somebody been sick. Talk to somebody that have suffered through sickness and talk to them about healing. Talk to them. It is because they have persevered through sickness. Remember one time it was this guy, he criticized people that worked third shift that didn't come to church on Sundays. Talking about, I don't understand. You love the Lord. If I was you, I was working third, I'd go home, give me some sleep, and come on to church. And then they shift him to third. When they shift him to third, you know, it's amazing how when they shift him to third, his testimony changed. And people would, they will shift their testimony before they shift their actions. So they start talking, they start saying, well, now, because guess what? It is one way to talk about it when you ain't been through it. But when you've been through it, it's different. I want you to ask yourself, am I moving in the right direction? Last close. If you are moving without Christ, it's wrong. Here's the fight. Here is the fight. If you don't hear nothing else I said, hear this. The fight is this. Well, Bishop, How do I know where I'm moving is of God and not of myself? That's the fight. How do I know that what I'm doing is being led by God or it's just something I want to do? And that comes with relationship, because you don't want to be good at doing the wrong thing. You don't want to be good at doing the wrong thing. Well, how do I evaluate it? Here's how you evaluate it. Who's getting blessed by it? Who are you helping? If you're the only person that's getting something out of it, it's probably not God. I like it. This is good. It's about me. It's probably not God. But when you can see what you're doing and people around you are being blessed, it's God. Because now God is using you as the conduit to be a blessing to other people. That's how the kingdom works. If you're the only one getting something out of it, that's probably not the direction God wants you to go. It's probably not. So you got to make sure that you're not being good at the wrong thing. You got to make sure, am I moving in the right direction? You cannot expect apples planting oranges. Whatsoever man soweth. You know what in that scripture, you know the word that we miss? The most important word in that entire scripture. And the scripture said, whatsoever man soweth, that he shall also reap. You know what we miss? The most important word is the word that. That. T-H-A-T. Whatsoever man soweth, that is what he's going to reap. And it's crazy to me how people need financial blessings but don't sow money. You expecting to get money out of your time. Whatsoever a man soweth, that. What is the that? Whatever you sow, that's what they're reaping. You don't sow apples and pray for oranges. I'm in the wrong church. That is the biggest thing. And I understand the scripture is that I control what comes back to me by what I choose to sow. So he put the sowing in your hands, what you need. Whatever you need, that's what you give. Because whatever you give, that's what's coming back. Y'all know the word of God? This is the word of the Lord. So let's start this year off by moving in the right direction.
You are tuned in. The word is so real, tell a friend. We trying to get right free of sin. You are now listening to the words of truth. Break the code. Sermons from Bishop Kelstone.